people, Cassie, pray for God's blessings on her, and Luke. And
okay, all right.
Yes,
Cassie?
Okay. Okay. Okay, God,
we know who holds tomorrow.
God will help you. Okay, and James' dad. All right, let us go to prayer at this time.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of being able to gather around your throne this morning. We thank you that we can come directly into your presence through your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't yet know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. And for each Christian that's here, that you'd help us to grow in you and to get closer to you through word and through prayer, through the church. We pray you'd be with these needs, Lord. We know that we have heavy hearts for those that have lost loved ones, Lord. We are burdened for them, and we pray that you just comfort them in this time of loss, and that you would just show them how great and mighty that you are, and that you are our shepherd through life. We pray for Luke and his family, the Ruba family, and the loss of his grandma. Lord, I pray you just do a mighty work of comfort for them. We pray you just help them as they make the arrangements, and just be, Lord, we know that you are there for them, and I pray if any in the family that aren't saved yet, that they would trust Christ as Savior. We pray you'd also be with Keith and the loss of his wife. Lord, I pray you just do a mighty work of comfort there, that you just help him to get close to you, and whatever his spiritual needs are, that you will meet them, and use Brian to be an encouragement to him. And we pray also for TJ with his work and license. We pray you'd help him to get those things, and pray you'd provide in a great and mighty way for him. We pray for his dad, that you just be with his health and help him to come out to church soon. You help him to feel better. We pray for Essie, for her ankle, her feet, and her heart condition. Lord, I pray you just do a mighty work of healing, that her swelling would get less in those extremities. We pray you'd also be with the Adams family. Put your blessing upon them. We thank you for them coming today. We pray that you'd be with Vanita, that you'd bless her and the rest of the family, Lord. And we pray for Eric's family, that you just be with him, bless them and his sisters. Pray for Nicole's family, Lord, for the unspokens there, that and for her mom and dad, you just do you'd help them. You just help her as well, Lord. You just meet Nicole's needs, that you provide for her in a great and mighty way, financially and whatever else she needs, Lord. Pray you just provide a job as well. Pray for the lost youth, Lord, of this generation, Lord, that they would truly find what is most important, and that is a relationship with you, so that you can lead and guide and direct them through life. And that we know that life doesn't make sense without you, and there are so many people trying to find meaning without you, and they're not going to find it until they see Jesus as their Savior. Lord, I pray you'd help them to seek you through your word and through church and through Christian friends here. We pray you'd also be with Cassie, that you'd be with her future, that you just guide and direct her in a great and mighty way, Lord, that you just guide each step of the way, and as well her relationship with Luke. Lord, I pray you just be with Luke and James's staff, Lord. I pray you just bless them in a mighty way. And I pray you just bless us all this morning for your honor and glory. For having been in your house, it's good to have Rivera family back with us, and Darnell and his sisters, Lord. I pray you bless them. And I pray you'd be with Danny Rivolo in Spain. You just open up the right jobs for him. And Lord, I pray that you'd open up a church for him to pastor, or that you'd open the doors to start one. Lord, I pray you just clearly guide and direct them as to what you would have them do for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. So Moses threw this pity party he just said, Lord, you don't know what you're doing, and I'm gonna, why don't you just take my life? You know, sometimes we can get so depressed, we ask the Lord to do crazy things like that. Well, that's what Moses did. But you know what? That's because we're not seeing the whole full picture yet. We don't see the full picture. Moses didn't see the full picture. He was upset because people were complaining to him, and because he felt this great heavy burden on his shoulders, he said, oh Lord, you know, it's too much for me. But here's what Moses lacked, what he did not realize, that God was already taking care of the situation.
And number two, that all he had to do was pray and ask God. You know, prayer solves so many of our problems that we have no idea of. The greatest of which is some very real symptoms. Depression. How many have ever been depressed before? Okay. Depression is actually, believe it or not, depression is discouragement of the mind. Discouragement of the mind to the point of severity. It's severe discouragement of the mind. Depression is us taking life's problems upon ourselves so much to the point where we don't know what to do anymore. And that's depression. But God says in Philippians 1, or Philippians, it says, take no thought for the morrow, God says in Matthew. And then he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And he says, be anxious for nothing. That means don't be careful about anything. Don't be full of cares. God says depression is actually a sin because it's actually taking all the cares of this world and putting them upon our shoulders. God says, be careful for nothing. So what does that mean? Don't be full of cares. Don't be full of cares because it'll weigh you down so much that you will not know what to do with yourself anymore. Instead, so what does he say is the antidote? Let's go to Philippians 4, 6. Who has it that can read it for us? Don't be full of cares. Philippians 4, 6. So Moses threw this pity party because he was full of his own cares when he should have been doing something else. Who's got it? Philippians 4, verse 6. Okay, Nicole. Okay, so what is God saying to do here?
Be careful for nothing. Just trust Him.
But in everything by what? Prayer. And supplicating, that's askings. Supplication means askings. Prayer means giving it to God. With thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for taking my problems. As you're giving it to God in prayer. Lord, help me with these problems. He's taking them from you. And in return, you're praising Him with thanksgiving. And what does He promise to give in return? This is the best trade in the world. You know, I used to trade baseball cards when I was a kid. You know, how many traded baseball cards when you were younger? Okay, or how many traded other things? Dolls, you know, whatever else. What things did you trade when you were little? Candy, okay, traded candy maybe. Okay, well, this is the best trade in the world. We're trading our problems and our worries 4, verse 7. Who would like to read verse 7 for us? Okay, Luke, why don't you go ahead and read that one.
And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
So what does God give in return for our worries and problems?
Peace.
His peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. Isn't that wonderful? Which shall keep our hearts and minds. All of a sudden, instead of depression, discouragement, filling our heart and being so worried and so to the point of thinking of God taking my life, all of a sudden now He gives us such peace that calms our heart, calms our mind. Why? Because prayer solves everything. Why? Because we're giving all things that are outside of our control, which is the problems of life. How much can we solve today about a job that we need, or a car, or a place to live? Or how much can we solve today about all that? None. But what will the devil try to do to us? He'll beat up our mind with it. He'll make us worry about it all day, all night. Until keep beating us up with it. And so that's why it's so important that the Christian prays, because we can't bear those heavy burdens. God can. And sure enough, in His time, He'll take care of it. One by one, He'll say, okay, here you go, my child. This is your answer.
Here you go, my child, I have this for you. And he'll open a door, and he'll open this, and he'll open that. And God just works in mighty ways to relieve our discouragement and our problems and our worries through prayer. Prayer is the antidote to worry. Prayer is the antidote to depression. That if you're discouraged this morning, prayer is the antidote to that. And so we need to see that depression and discouragement and worry is a sin. It's a sin. It means that we're not taking it to God. And we're just keeping it to ourselves. And that's what Moses did right here in Numbers 11, verse 15. He kept it himself. And then, you know what? Then he went to God. Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. We're in Numbers, the fourth book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 11, and verse 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Okay, so here God answers the problems that they were facing. The number one problem is the people wanted meat, but they wanted it to a point of lusting after meat. It says in the psalm we just read last Sunday for our corporate morning worship, Psalm 78 says they fell a-lusting, you know. Normally we don't associate lusting with food, but yet it is. If we lust after food, that's a sin. Instead of wanting food, we say, I have to have it, and if I don't have it, I'm not going to be happy. Well, that's lusting. Same way a person lusts after someone that's not their spouse or someone that's not married to them. Okay, that's lusting. And so it's a sin. We need to confess it and forsake it. Say, Lord, you know what? Help me to be satisfied with where I'm at right now, and help me to do it the right ways. Help me to do it through the right channels to fulfill the needs that you have given or that I have. And sure enough, God will then, as we seek him, he'll then meet our needs in the right ways, not in sinful ways. And it will be a blessing to us. And it will be we will have a great life because of it. So here, the answer to Moses' problem of having so many people coming to him all the time, and then the people complain, and so Moses said, oh, I can't do this anymore. Some 2 to 3 million people, I can't take care of them all. And so God said to Moses, I'll give 70 men that will help you rule over the 12 tribes. So if you 12 divided by 70, that's about 6 men per tribe that there would be princes over that they could help rule with him. And he said, I will put the spirits, your spirit, upon them. And so they'll be able to have wisdom and discernment from God to be able to answer their needs and solve their problems. And verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and herds be slain for them to suffice them, or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Here Moses said, God, I know you're powerful and all, but do you realize how many people want meat, and you're going to send us meat? Not just for one day, but for a whole month. I don't know how this is going to happen. See, here's what we need to realize. We don't serve a God that's small. You know, if you only take your small needs to God, guess what? You're limiting him with just small things. But take your big problems to God. Take the ones that are insurmountable and seemingly impossible to you. Take those problems to God, because we don't serve just a small God. We serve an infinite God who made heaven and earth. All you have to do is look outside. I had a good conversation with a guy last Sunday night as I was getting gas in one of the vans. And he said, I just graduated high school. I'm 18. This is my first job. He was working the gas pump at Royal Farms. And he said, you know, I'm just kind of waiting to see what I want to do with life. And I said, well, what do you think about where you came from? Have you ever thought about where you came from and where you're going? He said, you know, I really haven't thought about it too much. And so I gave him a tract, and I then was able to give him the gospel. And he said, you know, he said, it has to be true there is a God, because everything we see just can't just come happen, you know. And so he said, I don't believe in evolution. I said, yeah, it's the mathematical odds of evolution making the world, that we were born from a primordial soup, that, you know, we're a big bang, and one life form evolved into the next, is 10 to the 77th, 1 in 10 to the 77th power. Now, I know some people like lottery odds, but that's not even lottery odds. That's like beyond mathematically. It's mathematically impossible for a proton and a neutron to form by themselves. For an atom to form by himself. For those different things to keep forming into more advanced and more complex organisms. And then to the point where literally all the vital organs of an animal are put together. And then slowly a human. The mathematical of odds of those, what happens as soon as one mutation has gone awry, what happens to that whole life form? It's dead. And so then it has to start over again. Okay? What does science teach us? Science teaches us all mutations are not beneficial, but all mutations in science are actually harmful. When a fly has four wings, you say, oh, that looks cool. That fly looks like a super fly. Yeah, well, guess what? That fly can barely fly. Why? Because two of its wings are not attached to its body right. And they don't have the muscular structure, and they can't form, they can't move right. And so the mathematical, all mutations we see in the present science are all harmful. So when in the world have mutations in the past been good? And so literally the mathematical odds of evolution is impossible. And so this young man said, yeah, he said, you know, I really agree with that. He said, there has to be a God, an infinite creator that made us and lovingly formed us and fashioned us in our mother's womb and took us out of the womb and birthed us into this world and made us into who we are today. And that is God, who loves you and cares for you. And so don't ever get to the point where you think it's just you alone. It's not just you alone. You are not here by yourself. You are here with God. God who loves you. He put you here. And so don't ever take your problems and think, I've got to solve them myself, because that's where we get discouraged and depressed. And so we have to pick this morning, are we going to be thankful or are we going to be complaining? Are we going to be murmuring against God, or are we going to just be grateful and say, Lord, here's my problems. I need you. We need God. When we recognize how much we need God, guess what? We'll pray more. We'll pray more. And guess what? God starts solving our problems when we pray more. You say, how do you know? Well, I see it in my own life. The more I take things to God in prayer, the more I take people to God in prayer, the more I take finances to God in prayer, the more I take this to God in prayer, guess what? I'm amazed to see what He's going to do. And sure enough, He does it. He does it. God answers prayer in a great way. And so Moses said, Lord, how are you going to make us eat meat for a whole month? Verse 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Okay, this is the test. Verse 31, and there went forth the wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. How much is a cubit? Does anybody know? Cubit is a foot and a half. Okay, it's the span of Brian. Do you mind coming up here for a second? He's like the size of a, you know, an average man. I'm smaller than an average man. Okay, so we're gonna use Brian's arm
That's
here.
Not average.
Okay. He's tall? Okay. All right, so you count from the elbow. Now extend your fingers. Okay, right from here. And if we measure it with a ruler, it's going to be about 18 inches.
18 inches.
And that's how big a cubit is. So stack two of those. Stack them on the earth. Can you imagine? That's how high the quails were piled up on either side. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. On either side of the camp of Israel. On the one side, they're piled that high, you know, 3 feet high. On the other side, they're piled 3 feet high. You say, how is that possible? Sure enough, just in modern times, I told this last week, so I'll just share it real quick. There was a news report there in the Middle East that all of a sudden in this town, they were just shocked. A ton of quails just came in and were laying down on the ground. And sure enough, scientists then came over and they said, yeah, this is what quails do. Whenever they have to fly over a large body of water, they eat, they drink a lot, they get rest, and then they make the whole journey across the Mediterranean Sea, whatever side they're covering, and they have to do it all at once in one big burst. But then when they get to the other side, they're kind of frailer birds. They're not like, you know, the really strong flight birds. So they're frailer birds. So then when they get to the other side of the body of water, they don't land with their feet down. They just land and they just kind of roll onto the ground. And they just fall really exhausted onto the ground. And sure enough, people said they went over to those quails and they said, oh, they're all dead. And they went and picked them up. They weren't dead. The quail was trying to get away a little bit. And they picked up a live quail that was just exhausted on the ground. And sure enough, the writer in the news was saying, this must be exactly how the quail in the Bible was. And so once again, we have proof and confirmation of the way that God works all through history. And every miracle in the Bible is true. It's the way God works. And sure enough, they had so many quails. God sent them quails from probably all over the regions that literally fell all over the camp, and sure enough, for 30 days. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. And he that gathered least, verse 32, gathered 10 homers. That's like a big basket. Okay, so like a basket about this size. They gathered 10 of those, and they spread them abroad, all abroad for themselves, round about the camp. Now, I know, how many like meat here? Okay, you like meat? How many have ever had quail meat? Anybody ever have quail? Okay, Pat has. Okay, was it down in Barbados or up here? Okay, wedding, beautiful, good. And Nicole, you've had quail?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. Okay, it tastes. Depends how you cook it. There's ways to get the gaminess out of the meat. But anyway, so quail is like a very it's a tasty meat. But even the most tasty meat, can you imagine gathering baskets of these things? What were these people guilty of? Gluttony. They wanted so much because all they had was manna. They thought manna, even though it was a complete food, really delicious. They thought this is not enough, and so they were gluttonous. And as a result, verse 33, and while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, this was among the most gluttonous of them, the wrath of the Lord. Here they didn't even cook it yet. The wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. So here we see that, you know what? When we take matters into our own hands and we say, oh, I have to have this, and we go and we get this, but it's not gotten in the right way, it brings destruction with it. It brings destruction. Many people, have problems in their bodies because they lusted after food. They too much of this or that or the other. And so we've got to remember that sin always carries a price tag with it. But the good news is that they learned a lesson. Only the ones who are severely gluttonous, they're the ones that die. Whenever God has to send a plague, It's the ones who are the offenders that get killed or get hurt. It's not the ones who are innocent. And that's something that God always shows in the Bible over and over and over. It's only the severe offenders that have the judgment. Okay? All right, any questions so far about complaining, thankfulness, depression, discouragement, prayer, bring our problems to God? Any questions so far? Comments? I know it's been a lot that we've covered. Yes, Cheryl.
I find that it's easier for me to pray for other people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we tend to, I tend to be the same way. I'd rather pray for somebody else than pray for my needs. But nonetheless, what did Jesus say in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. So he does want us to pray for our needs. And, you know, I'm sure in the past, you know, he helped us in those times, even when we didn't pray for ourselves because we had that a humble attitude about it. But now, for the present and the future, he does want us to pray for our needs. So give him everything. Give him every problem. And you'll find the more you give him, the more you can breathe. That's what I find in my life. You just can breathe so much better because we've given it to the Lord. And at times we take things back, and then we have to give it back to the Lord again. All right, good, great comment. Great question, great comment. Anyone else? Complaining, thankfulness, depression, prayer. Any questions, comments? Okay, Eric?
Man, you've got to pray for God, but you've got to pray in the right place. He can hear your prayer. But you know something? I've seen God in my room, and I talk to him. And you know something? I'll feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we know when God is listening to us. We know when he's answering prayer. And so we need to continually do that. Anyone else? Questions, comments, thoughts? Maybe something from your own life. An answered prayer. How many have prayed for something, then sure enough, God answers. And want to share something? Yes, Cheryl. Ebony, what were you going to say? What's that? The house. Okay, good. All right. Anyone else? How did God answer your prayer? Maybe one lately. Yes, James. Okay, all right. And you serve here at the church. So that's a good blessing. Anyone else? Yes, TJ. Amen. 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 Yes, it's good to see TJ back. God, you are an answer to prayer, literally, TJ. God brought you back to us. Anyone else? Yes, Myra.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, like no matter what I went through, I knew it was.
Amen.
And
fourth grade.
Wow. Amen. Amen.
So, you know, for those that are having a hard time, you know, even believing, man, prayer does change things.
That's right.
That's why I named him Daniel.
Amen.
Because I love the book of Daniel, where he prayed 2 times a day, and that's how I did.
Amen.
I prayed 3 times a day, and it was just, my life was so more fulfilled.
Mm.
I was more into prayer.
Yes.
And I was constantly praying. Oh my God, the results were not just like amazing, mind-boggling, but I just got into such a, oh my God, I couldn't wait to pray,
mm-hmm.
just to be thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And things would just happen more and more and more and more, like you say, felt God,
mm-hmm.
like,
yes.
You can really feel him.
Yes.
So, yeah, the food, the life.
Amen.
The provision, you know, he died in my heart.
Mm.
And my mom was running around yelling, he's dead, he's dead. And, you know, I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And I told him, just kept thanking God for his breath and for the dreams he was filling him with. But I refused to believe my son was dead. And I just kept thanking God. And Arnold went to the hospital. He went on his lips being broke with no heartbeat. So his lips came back to being rosy and his little eyes opened. So, you know, he's my walking miracle.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Same thing when Holly was about 4 years old. She hit her head really hard. And she stopped breathing for about 20 minutes, and we were, you know, so I said, Lord, there's nothing more I can do but pray, and I just prayed and prayed and prayed, and sure enough, at about 30 minutes, she was breathing very slightly, but she was ashen, her lips were purple, and she had gone into a massive seizure, and so the paramedics were taking her at that point, but finally, then she came out of it. And, you know, some weird mucus came out of her eyes, and then she came back, and it's just like, wow, thank you, God. God is real. So anytime we have a problem or a need, we need to go to God, and He will bear it for us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much to be reminded this morning that You are a prayer-answering God, and that You are a burden-bearing God. Lord, we know there's a lot of requests that were given this morning for prayer. We know there's a lot of needs that are represented here, Lord, but we know You are Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. Our great Heavenly Father who loves to pour down Your blessings upon us. Lord, I pray You'd meet each need that was prayed for and even those that were on our hearts but we didn't pray for. Lord, I pray that You'd just help us to give them even now to You. That You can answer them in a great and mighty way. As You tell us in Your Word in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We thank You for this time in Jesus, and bless the morning worship service in a few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll meet in 8 minutes for the morning worship service.